It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's time for another KM to 2 a.m. It's been a while. I got on last night and I told y'all, man, March Madness been in the way. Brooklyn Nets basketball in the way. I went to spring training and I don't know. I felt like I was getting phased out. I'm like, do I even work here? Let me make sure my ID card scans in. We back, baby. And you already know what we're going to do. You heard that. Bam, bam, ba-na-dum, bam, bam, ba-na-dum. Start spreading the news. Play Frank. The Yankees are 6-1, winning both series on the road against one team that was in the last seven American League Championship Series and another team that's young but found their way to the World Series, the reigning NL champs. That also went out and added in the offseason. No one can tell me, oh, it's early now. We got a week full of games. 877-337. You know the number to dial. It's easy tonight. We're going to start with the Yankees because C-Mac's going to come up after me at 2 a.m. And I don't want it to be Yankees the whole time and it just goes right into more Yankees talk. You know, we got to do both. And fittingly enough, it's raining cats and dogs in New York City. And on one side of New York, there's a flight coming back here. Probably back already. There's a flight coming back with some hungry dogs. Ooh, 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 ooh. And on the other side of town, we ain't seen those quiet pussy cats. The Yankees and the Mets. A tale of two teams in one city. On polar opposite sides, the more things change, the more things stay exactly the same. Mother Nature didn't even want to see another loss. Mother Nature had to shake things up. Mike Francesa was out there trolling the Mets on Twitter. I said, hey, the Pope can do it. I can't do it. Oh, yeah, he's got, you know, way more street cred out here than me. But anywho, the Mets get rained out. Single admission doubleheader, 12-10 in Queens. Tomorrow, pull up, root for a win. It's hard to take two when you play two. Chances are the Mets should get their first win of the season tomorrow. It's just the same. Oh, Mets. I can't stand this guy, man. He's always trolling me. I can't even listen to a show. You know, you just lost a listener. I do it for my Yankee fans, man, you know. It goes hand in hand. As I watch the Knicks all season have a great season and the Nets absolutely suck, I'm like, it goes hand in hand. It's a rivalry, crosstown rivalry, you know. While one does well and the other one struggles, one side reaps the benefits of both. And, I mean, the Yankee fans are not punching down. We're not piling on. I mean, it is what it is, right? If you listen to this radio station just a couple weeks ago, it was like, oh, the Mets had a better offseason than the Yankees. Oh, they lost Garrett Cole. Judge is hurt. DJ is hurt. What now? What now? What now is take a look at this team. Take a look at these guys. Take a look at all seven games they played. A lot of comeback wins, but different kind of wins. Obviously, one blowout loss. That's like, whatever. Nestor gave it up his first time out there. Nestor's got to figure it out. Come on, nasty Nestor. He needs to get back to the Bronx. He needs to get on the mound in Yankee Stadium to find himself again. And I mean, the Yankees lose that one game against Zach Gallen, whatever, that's it. You're going to lose a game. And my logic, fan logic, Yankee homer logic is, oh, well, if you had to lose one game before you came home, it's that one. Put your thinking cap on, right? You don't want them to come home undefeated and lose in the cold in front of 45,000 Yankee fans that are freezing and paid $200 to get into the building. You didn't want them to lose the series. They didn't. They take both series. They lose a game, so it's not, 162-0, here we go. And they have a happy flight. And, man, I just saw the Yankees retweet Marcus Stroman. If you haven't seen that picture of Yankee Stadium West, shout out to anybody out in Arizona, anybody out west that was at Chase Field. I mean, it is amazing to see how Yankee fans travel, how Yankee fans take over other ballparks. Like, this is a team that went to the World Series last year and just picked their fans back up. I mean, I guess with their owner talking about picking up and leaving town, maybe their fans are back down. But when you see that many Yankee fans behind the Yankees dugout, that's a home game. That's a home game. What's it going to be like in the Bronx? What's it going to be like on River Ave? What's it going to be like on 161st Street? Early in the morning, we're out there in Yankee land. Fire me up. I cannot wait. Like, this is one of the most hyped opening days coming in a long time. You hear Aaron Boone in the post game. He's like, yeah, I'm sure the Bronx is going to be popping. Judge is talking about fans bringing the energy. This whole dog thing is a real thing. I'm sure some of you have already purchased dog masks. You're going to hear a bunch of fans barking at Doogie in left field. Like, they already have their Yankee thing. They already have, whether it was, you know, the years before with the thumbs down, or I mentioned Sean Kelly the other night with the horse head, or I don't know. These guys always have some type of random thing. The pies after the games. They already have this dog mentality thing. Judge has embraced it. He's the captain of the team. Once he says it, it's a thing. Sorry, Loogie. We're rocking with Doogie. Alex Verdugo said they're a bunch of dogs, started barking, and that's how they played today in extra innings. And shout out to the Diamondbacks. They didn't go quietly into the night. That's a team that fought their way all the way to the World Series. And they weren't trying to lose the series at home. It's early on in the year, and they have a lot of ball players. They have a lot of guys that can play. I mean, right away, Carlos Rodon, you know, Carlos Rodon, if you're a betting man like I am, he's going to give up homers all year. Bet somebody to hit a homer off him. I wish I'd put a bet on Blaze Pizza, Blaze Alexander homering off of him. That, like, if you could even bet on Blaze Alexander hitting his first career homer off him. And then Judge comes back. For all the dummies out there talking about Aaron Judge sucks, Aaron Judge is washed, Aaron Judge needs to be sent down, he didn't have enough time in spring training, he's still hurt, this guy is overpaid. Judge just reminds everybody that he's Judge. Just give him some time. He's one of the best hitters in the league. He might not be what we saw in 2022 ever again, but he doesn't have to be. They filled out a roster full of dogs around him, and they already have DH'd him twice and sat down Giancarlo Stanton. Some of you guys are too worried about Giancarlo Stanton. He's going to be phased out. You know, talk to me about Anthony Volpe and his growth and what he's become and what he's done early on. And how long until he's the leadoff hitter? Talk to me about Gleyber Torres. Talk to me about Juan Soto. Call me up at 877-337-6666. Talk to me about the bullpen. Talk to me about the starting rotation without Gerrit Cole. How amazing was it last night to watch Gerrit Cole check in on the broadcast? Shout out to Yes Network. Online and on air, they're doing a great job covering this team. Man, I was so pumped just to see 22 years of Yes Network, and they took Juan Soto's jersey and morphed it into a 22 years logo. I'm like, let's go. It's all lining up. It all makes sense. So, yeah, of course, as Yankee fans, we're feeling ourselves. The Yankees win 6-5 in 11 innings, and it's another team win, another never-say-die win. I mean, Verdugo pimped that home run for 30 minutes. And like I said, they fought back. But it didn't matter. And then things got wonky at the end of that game. They're pitching, or they hit a pitcher at the end of the game. And clearly, you know, as you've heard me complain about the umps, and if you watch the game, again, did you listen to me last night, 6:30 to 9, talk about the umpires? And then I think Jim from Long Island was like, you sound like a baby crying about the umps. No. Just watch the game. I'm not crying about the umps. I'm stating the obvious. They haven't been good. And then You follow up this game today, they weren't good. And then how'd the game end? A ball call for a strike because Blue just wanted to go home. He wanted to get on his flight and get out of there too. So Yankee fans, call me up. We'll start with the Yankees first. Mets fans, I don't know how you feel. Like, is it a break for you to not have to watch them play? I think you should feel better, like I said, because, I mean, it was so on brand. Everything bad that could happen, as I'm talking about the Yankees finding ways to win different kind of games, they haven't even had a game really where they slug. Like, they haven't had a game where they hit a lot of home runs. I mean, today you get Verdugo and Judge, but, like, when I'm watching these first couple Mets games, the first four Mets games, it's like, man, you get punked by Rhys Hoskins. Your manager doesn't know how to handle things as a rookie manager. You've got guys making errors, not coming up with plays when you need it. You think the bullpen's better. Bullpen blows the game. You think Luis Severino is a different man with his hair grown out and a beard. Nope. He's pitching batting practice again. Tell me. Call me up, Mets fans. Is it a break for you right now? A little reset? I think it is. I saw Steve Cohen spoke. We'll talk about that. And I really do think that, like, with the rain, they did y'all a favor. It's a couple days off here to reset, clear your heads, and a doubleheader tomorrow, you're most likely going to win one of those games. And all it takes is one win to kind of right the ship and get going. I think people are kind of jumping off the deep end too quickly with the Edwin Diaz trades and trade Pete Alonso, trade Jeff McNeil. No, slow it down. We take this day by day, series by series, week by week, month to month. It's 1 week, couple series, couple days into the season. 877-337-6666. At least you got Julio Teheran, you know, because you should have got him in spring, but the Orioles picked him up, and then they dropped him, and now he's a Met. I mean, speaking of the Orioles, I cannot wait for Yankees-Orioles. I think it's the first week in May, right around my birthday. I think I'm just driving down to Camden Yards. I'll see you down there. I'll obviously see you guys Friday, man. If you follow me on TikTok, I'll fire up the TikTok live tonight. If you follow me on Instagram, Twitter, I am about to walk into a three-day movie. I'm going to walk into a three-day movie where tomorrow we're at the T-Mobile store in Times Square, whooping it up with a bunch of Yankee fans, the eve before the home opener, Paul O'Neill, Cecil Fielder. Then I got a five-hour KM to AM tomorrow night. And then Friday you wake up, you go right to Yankee Stadium. You powwow, you say Happy New Year, you get with all your friends and family and Yankee fans, and then we watch our team in the Bronx. And then I'm sliding to Prudential Center, The Rock, to see Drizzy Drake and Young Toon. Yeah, Drake and Lil Wayne are performing where the Devils play. Shout out to the Devils for just treating me like an A-list celebrity, putting me on. Connections with the Devils in a Prudential Center, I'm in there. So if you're going to the Drake and Lil Wayne concert Friday night, I'll see you there. And then Saturday, I have a special Saturday show on The Fan, 3 to 6. And then I'll be right there after that, or maybe 3 to 7, whatever it is. Right after that, I'm going right up to the stadium for that Saturday night game. And it's going to be a movie. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at Keith McPherson. My mom came up with it, and I just did the rest. And speaking of the Devils and where the Devils play, what got into the Devils tonight? They decided they were just going to mess the entire game up. The Devils decided it was Mortal Kombat. I have never seen anything like that. And I know I haven't been watching hockey that long, but 8 players ejected 2 seconds into the game. The coaches yelling at each other. I mean, they were looking for revenge. Matt Rempe, you lost. You took another L. And I know everybody champions this guy as the Fight Club guy, as the bruiser. Nah, that's an L, and it's not a good look. But, of course, what happens ultimately in the end of the game? The Rangers win. They find a way to win. So, Devils fans, Rangers fans, feel free to weigh in. And Jets fans, slow your roll a little bit. I understand Stephon Diggs is no longer with the Buffalo Bills. So now the chirping starts about the AFC East is wide open for the taking. No, it's not. The Dolphins still exist, and Josh Allen still exists, and he's got 2 tight ends, and this is a deep draft for wide receivers. They're going to get a couple. So it's not that easy to just say, oh, it's the Jets division to lose. But man, as I look at CJ Stroud, Joe Mixon, Dalton Schultz, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and Nico Collins, who's stopping that offense? Who's stopping that offense? They are trying to go take down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. So yeah, I heard Evan and Tiki find a way to get right to the NFL conversation with a short show today. We will get to all of that tonight. Mets fans, oh, also feel good about the Marlins going 0-7. We will also look around Major League Baseball and talk about the other teams, divisions, and starts. This is Keith McPherson on the Fan. The number to dial is 877-337-6666. We're going to take calls on the Yanks. We're going to take calls on the Mets. If you want to talk Nets, the Nets got a little cute win, but I cannot wait for the season to be over. Good for the young Nets. And I guess you guys can call up with that too. But really, it's going to be Yankees, Mets, Devils, Rangers, and a little bit of Jets talk with Stephon Diggs being traded out of the division. 877-337-6666. You got me till 2 a.m. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Wakanda! Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And tonight's Casamigos Big Shot of the Night goes to the big guy, number 99, Aaron Judge.
I'm the king of New York, Mello.
Judge needed it. I just got tired of reading the toxic, negative Yankee fans that completely just can quit on a guy that hit 62 home runs and has given us so many great walk-off moments and clutch moments and three home run games. And I don't know. There's a team around him. It's different this year. And Jack Curry today, I took a nap when my son was napping. I took a nap like 3 o'clock to 3:40. And when I woke up, I saw the Yes Network posted Jack Curry saying, I think Aaron Judge hits his first home run today. I said, oh, bet. Heard you. I went through $25 on Aaron Judge to homer and the Yankees to win, and I turned that into a $100 profit. So thank you, Aaron Judge. Thank you, Jack Curry. Today, Judge has three ribbies, two hits, one homer, and I mean, that double that he hit in the gap. The way the ball comes off this guy's bat, he's different. Just give him some time. I'm glad to see that he's not spring beat up anymore. He's not hurt. And hopefully the toe is all good. And they give him a second game to DH and he comes through. So shout out to the big shot of the night, Aaron Judge. And Mr. Big Shot himself, Moneybag Cohen, the Make It Happen Mets. Steve Cohen was on the Squawk Box. What is this? CNBC. And you guys know he's a hedge fund guy, whatever. He had a couple quotes, but basically he said he's not sweating the winless Mets start. It's only four games. You're going to go through stretches like this in a season. And, you know, this is just a bad start. It happened in the beginning of the season. He said it'd be equivalent of getting off to a bad start. Let's say in a hedge fund year, you have a couple of down days early in January. You still got a lot of time left to do what you normally do. Yeah, nobody wants to start off 0-4, but it's early, right? During the season, you're going to have losing streaks. We just happen to have one at the beginning. And you just happen to be the Mets. He also said, I'm not making the decisions. My baseball people are making the decisions. My job is when they need me to support their decisions, they come to me and say, this is what I want to do. I've never said no to anything. I mean, we have discussions and we talk about it, but those ideas are not coming from me, which is totally different than running my hedge fund. And he said, I'm used to operating in a very decentralized way, and I give people a lot of rope. And he, you know, he's on CNBC Squawk Box, and he's talking baseball, and he's talking business. And he said, you know, this was a passion project, and that he just wants to make millions of Mets fans happy. So let's hear from some Mets fans before we get to the Yankees, because I know all my dogs on the line. Let's go to Mike out in Brick. What's up, Mike? You're first up on the Fan.
Yo, Keith, what's up, my man? How you doing tonight?
I'm good. Hanging out. Glad to get another show. I feel like I don't be on anymore.
Nah, you're here. You're with us. You know what I mean? Much respect. Much respect. Listen, man, we're talking about gambling and all that, and I don't want to emphasize that or promote it. But let me tell you a quick 20-second story. I was supposed to go to the game yesterday, and we got rained out and all that, blah, 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 blah. I came home back to New Jersey, and I put a little wager and ended up winning $30,000 on slot machines.
I was about to say, what did you bet? A little wager to turn that into 30K?
Well, listen, a little wager turned into a big wager, and I bet like $10 on a slot machine and went off and won like 30 grand. Like,
you, in AC?
God bless you. No, on my phone,
Oh, wow. Yeah, they're going to hit you with those taxes if they didn't already do it.
It's a big help, but, you know, you pay taxes, all that.
And it's still, I mean.
Going back to sports.
Yeah,
going
back good for you.
These New York Mets, and I'm the most optimistic Mets fan that you'll ever meet. And I've called you in the past, and I was like, you know, I feel like such a jerk. Re-sign Pete Alonso. I'm backing every Mets player, like a total stan. And I know it's only four games, but my brother, my God, I'm sitting here watching these couple games, and I feel so disconnected that it seems that there's no heart.
Yeah, it sucks.
Right off the jump.
It sucks all the air out of the room. All the optimism that you had is gone, and it's doom and gloom. And even in the game, like the last game, the Sean Manaea game, where he had such a good start, such a good debut, and they fight all the way to get to extra innings, and then they blow it like that, and it's like, come on, man, 5-0, can't make a play, can't get an out. And that's why I say it's on brand. It's like there's something in the air. There's some type of hex on these guys. Then you got fans mad at Pete for going to a concert that was planned for months in advance.
Now that's bogus. That's bogus.
Yeah, he didn't plan on losing. He didn't plan on starting off 0-4. Let that man live.
Pete ain't the problem. Listen, man, I'm a big Lindor fan. But for God's sakes,
man. It's hard to be. He's not above reproach at all, man. He himself was accountable. He knows he's got to be better. He can't be the highest paid player on the team with the lowest batting average. It just doesn't work like that. He's got to be the man.
Keith, I'm 31 years old. My highlights of my life are seeing the Mets lose to the world in the World Series to the Yankees. Carlos Beltran going down looking. We came back 10 years later, lost to the Royals.
Daniel Murphy, and, yeah.
Yes.
101 wins. Edwin Diaz trumpets 2 years ago, trying to, you know, get that old thing back this year, added some disco lights and whatnot.
Now you got me jazzed up. Now you got me jazzed up.
Yeah, good luck, Mike. I don't know, man. It's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Don't punt on the season. And I know there's a lot of Mets fans that just like to be right. Frank was right. Frank the Tank, he's got some epic rants already. He's going to have a great year if the Mets keep this up, but I mean, it's baseball. Nobody can predict baseball. Chances are they don't keep this up. And I think this little break right now with the rain delay and then the postponement, back-to-back nights, like I think that's just what they needed. Like, hey, stop the train. This, you know, I said a couple nights ago or last night, I said, winning is contagious, so is losing. Losing becomes a habit, finding a way to lose. Well, they didn't lose yesterday. They didn't lose today. And there's a doubleheader coming up, and there's a good chance they win one of those games. Let's go to the Bronx. The Yankees are on their way back. Bear, you're on the Fan. Talk to me.
Yeah, listen, Keith. I just followed you on Instagram and on X, and you are so keyed up about that first win, and so was I. And then when we swept them, I mean. And people are telling me, calm down. It's only your first four games of the season.
No, tell them to calm down. We've been waiting for this.
Yeah.
It was a long offseason after that year. Last year sucked. I was waiting for opening day. I was waiting for opening day since July.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, what do you mean calm down? I said, if you can't get psyched up about this, I mean.
I have nightmares about the Houston Astros. I have weird dreams where I'm in Minute Maid Park. Like, I still see Jermaine Pena and Jose Altuve dancing in the Bronx on our field. Like, that opening series was everything. It was too good to be true. I almost didn't believe it. I'm like, nah, hell no. This can't be real life. I'm on cloud nine. This is a honeymoon stage with this team. It continued all week.
Absolutely. I mean, look what's happening in that other barrel. I mean, they feel like they want to leap off the tallest building they can find in Queens.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
Jeff
pretty
McNeil,
bad over there.
Jeff McNeil, like, don't slide at me. Don't do that. Don't slide hard at me. Hit him. Did you see the Rangers and Devils? Sometimes the only way to solve things between men is to come to blows, fisticuffs, square up. Sometimes somebody's got to get hit.
It's kind of funny because I know you just started being a hockey fan.
I love it, though, man.
I'm almost 70 years old, and I've seen hockey, and to me, hockey is the
You've seen games where they just say, nah, like, where everybody drop your gloves, mano-y-mano, whoever you're against, fight.
Oh, yeah. This is not the first time. Keith.
I've never seen it. I'm new. I'm very new, and I love that. I watched that video. I've watched this video 5 times.
Listen, you're just out of the box. They just unwrapped you in hockey. You just sit back and enjoy because you got a lot of games left to watch.
Yeah, and I like it more and more, man. And I hope that they never take the fighting out of it. Thanks for the call, Bear. It just made me think about our good buddy Sal Licata, who came on the Fan and said that they need to take fighting out of hockey. No, Sal. Absolutely not, bro. That's a bad take. That's an incorrect take. Sal is the best. I was driving in thinking about that take, and then I started thinking about a lot of Sal's takes. And I'm sure Sal will hear this and he'll get back to him. And I think Sal is a pro. He's great. But we need someone like Sal, right? Every team, there's something that Sal said. The Mets, the NL East is over. That's his most famous take. He's famous in Atlanta for proclaiming that the NL East was over in May. And then the Braves go on a historic winning pace. And just by a smidgen, win a division. He said that the Yankees were going to win the World Series last year. Last year, he said, I've seen this before. I know it's going to happen. Aaron Judge is coming back. The Yankees are winning a World Series. Stop that. With the Jets, I was listening to him in the overnight, and he said that the Jets should look into Matt Ryan before they got Aaron Rodgers. He's saying, Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan looked into retirement. He joined our very own Tiki Barber in the booth. I listened to Sal say Tommy DeVito was better than Daniel Jones, an undrafted free agent versus the number 6 overall $40 million quarterback. He said that Tommy Cutlets was better than Daniel Jones. He said that he was better than Evan Neal. He said he could do better than Evan Neal. He said Evan Neal doesn't block anybody. I remember after that Dolphins game, I'm listening to the fan. He's like, put me in there. Put a helmet on me. Sal, you, like, bro, just from the little bit of football that I played, it is not what it looks like on TV. And you do not want to be with those big boys in the trenches. You would not last one play. One play, you wouldn't be able to get up. What else? I mean, there's too many. There's too many takes, man. There's too many takes. King Cohen. Josh is in Passaic. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Great, man. Good to be back.
So, first of all, speaking of Sal, you know, it's actually pretty funny, you know, the whole WFAN news coming out the last week, you know, the whole thing with Evan and
another take where it's like, Sal, come on, bro. Evan just put out my Mets Bible. You know he's going to opening day. Everybody should have known that, in my opinion. People were texting me. I'm like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on, but I would bet 10 times out of 10 the guy that is publishing a book called My Mets Bible, 30 years of scoring Mets games, he's not missing opening day for anything. I would bet that guy's there.
And then yesterday, I'm listening to Boomer and G on this caller, you know, go and get Sal, go and get Evan. The moment of the day was a guy saying how, like, Evan smells and this and that, and he has to titty up. So it's been a pretty interesting week now.
Yeah, we're cooking, man. WFAN was trending today. I don't know. It's the second most wonderful time. We've got baseball back. We're approaching the Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs. There are moves being made in the NFL. The draft is later this month, like, this is the second most wonderful time, in my opinion. October, when we get to, you know, football, baseball, basketball, hockey, all of that together, to me, is the most wonderful time. But it's great. WFAN should be trending. People should be talking about this stuff. Like, we're grown men that get so fired up and passionate over sports.
And then with the Mets, I agree with you. That's what I was thinking. You know, it's great to have a break. And I was thinking, the second I heard, like, that there was a double header, I'm like, yes, they'll for sure get one of those.
Yeah.
Because I'll give one thing for the Mets. They don't get swept in double headers. I mean, obviously, this year could be different. And then with Steve Cohen's comments, you know, about just being whatever in a slump and this happens. A slump's when you're okay, you know, during the regular year or good, and then you have it in the middle of the season. It's when you start off like this, you don't know that it's a short slump, right? Obviously, they have lost four games in a row to start the season, but it's not like it's the middle of the season and this came right now. So it's not like so much as he's trying to compare it to, like, whatever his hedge fund, because that he's had past years good. Well, listen, as long as you have an owner speaking out, it's good enough.
It's not a great comp, and that's why I jokingly said, but you're the Mets. Like, it's not a good comparison. And when you have the history that the Mets have, and when you're where you are right now, like, when I say your thoughts become things, at the trade deadline last year, when they punted on the season 5 days before, and then Max Scherzer comes out, and I just saw his goofy ass flexing his ring on ring night with the Rangers. I'm like, I can't stand that dude. That dude just is so fake and pretending. But when he comes out to say, oh, they're not going to compete next year, thoughts become things. Words matter. That matters to every fan. That matters to the baseball world. That matters to players. And when David Stearns comes in and the one big fish you're trying to get is Yamamoto and you miss out on him and then you make a bunch of marginal moves and you start off like this, it's compounded. No one's really surprised. It's on brand. And it feels like, I said this last night, you punched above your weight class a little bit in 2022 and you're right back to where you were. Frank the Tank is saying, oh, the Wilpons were better. Now, I don't think that's necessarily true. But, man, all the money in the world, money can't buy you love.
Again, you know, every time you say, like, King Cone, it always just reminds you of, like, you know, like, King Bob and Minions. But with the Devils-Rangers fight tonight, and if one thing the NHL has over anything is that you can have fights like that, right? With them, that's like, you know, the guy throws a pitch behind Hoskins, he's ejected. You know, anytime anybody throws a punch, you had the Jose Ramirez.
Yeah, but you can fight in baseball too. The Blue Jays and Rays got to a little shoving match. Like, sometimes
they got suspended 5 games.
Yeah, so what? But, like, sometimes you got to send a message like that.
Right, but hockey, this is like.
But that's what's great about hockey. It is, as we talk about unwritten rules in baseball, and we talk about how baseball is supposed to police things like Rhys Hoskins sliding hard into second to break up a double play. Man, in hockey, like, the Devils aren't making the playoffs. The Rangers are. But this is the last matchup of the Devils-Rangers. In the Garden, the Devils said, to hell with the game. Like, we got to get that Rempe kid, right? We haven't forgot about that hit on, like, I don't know. I love that. I thought that was theatrical. I thought it was Mortal Kombat. I thought it was something in sports that you just don't see. I know it's happened in hockey, but now, like, me following hockey, to see that, it was entertaining. And you don't get that in football. You don't get that in baseball, basketball. It's the only sport. It can turn MMA fast.
And then with Matt Rempe, I don't know about you, but I just can't stand him. You know, it's like a cute story, you know, first time he had that fight outdoors. Now it's just like stupid. I said that the night of the hit, dude.
And we're Devils fans, so we're going to sound like we're soft and we're crybabies. But
this is,
like,
all he does.
Exactly. He's just
some goals, maybe.
This big goon, this big bruiser. But he's taken some L's, and he had a swollen face, black eye. And it's like, is that all you do? His story, the trajectory changed. It started off, I was like, man, this guy made his debut, and it was like the anniversary of him losing his father like 6 years ago. And he got to have that first skate in MetLife on national television. I'm like, this is a movie. And then it just became, okay, this guy's going to fight every single guy, and then he's looking for a fight, and he's not standing on business. He's ducking the smoke. And I don't know, even now, like, this has been going on for 2 months.
And then just lastly, I wish they would have just came out with one W versus the Rangers. This is just to put, like, the icing on the wrong cake.
You got
to
enjoy last year's playoffs.
Right.
That's
and
it.
We got to appreciate that much more. Because,
this is not the Devils' year. It's the Rangers' year. Thanks for the call, Josh. 877-337-6666. Let's keep on rolling. Matt in Huntington, New York. You're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith?
Good. How are you?
Glad to hear the little man's bringing you joy. That's the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's great. My son is 10 days away from being 1 year old. I spent, you know, the whole day with him. I spend a lot of days since I'm on at night, you know, watching him and taking care of him.
That's
and
a
he's
blessing, man.
Yeah, he's just turning more into a little dude. He's turning, like, he's not so much of a like crying, screaming
baby.
Yeah,
like, you don't even know. Mine's 8 years old now, so he's starting to get into the Yanks. But that's why I called about the Yanks. Nice start.
Great start. You can't really ask for a better one.
No. So there's this one thing that came up. Coney, it was a weird game. We had the balk, and they also had the catcher's interference.
Mm-hmm.
So Coney brought up during the game,
after
the catcher's interference, he said that they should go to the rule book and make that a do-over pitch, not give the guy the base for the catcher's interference. But my argument there is, if you do that, say you're the catcher, and you know you left it over the plate to Aaron Judge, why don't you just stick the glove out and interfere, and you get a new pitch?
It happens too fast.
It does happen too fast, but
yeah.
I saw Coney just being so analytical. I didn't understand.
No, they're never going to change that rule. Like,
I know. I just thought that was weird coming from Cone, you know? Like, he's a little too smart for that, like, because you could just interfere if you thought it was a bad pitch.
Yeah, be careful with that.
The reason that
you might have a bruised index finger or something. Like, I don't know. It happens. Man, it happens in a second. Like, it's so fast.
Right, but if you stick your glove out, you know, the guy could have been hitting the ball to, the next field. If you stick the glove out, you got to be sacrificing something. It doesn't make sense for that to be, you know, just a, you know, do-over. I don't know. I thought that was weird coming from Coney. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no, I saw it happen with Grisham. They're never changing the rule. I actually did not have the sound on, just babysitting and watching the game.
It didn't even look like he hit him. I couldn't hear nothing either.
Yeah, I don't know. The home plate ump was on it and Grisham was on it, so it obviously happened. But, no, it'll always be, hey, take your base. It'll never be, all right, let's do over the pitch.
And then that was weird, too, with the balk, the run-in. You know, that was a weird game.
Man, they were trying to give the Yankees the game. They were making mistakes the whole game. The Yankees just weren't capitalizing on them, and then they gave it away at the end. Ball don't lie.
Yeah. How about Volpe with them guns, man? That guy put on some weight. He's looking real strong.
I said
out there.
That. I'm like, yo, he's been in the gym. He's been in the weight room. And, like, he is only 22 years old. He's going to fill out. Somebody was hitting me on Twitter. They're like, oh, he looks like he's got a stronger arm, because the word on Volpe the last 2 years was his arm's not strong enough to play shortstop.
Right.
People were saying, oh, Peraza's got a stronger arm. You can improve. You can improve your arm strength. You can improve your overall strength.
He came back looking jacked. And, you know, my 8-year-old, he's a big fan of Volpe. He's like, oh, he's a rookie. He just always asks about Volpe. And I showed him today. We got home early from school, and I was like, look, he put on some weight. He's throwing the ball 95 miles an hour to first now.
Yeah, he puts in the work, and I'm sure somebody told him exactly what he had to do. Thanks for the call, man. I'm sure somebody told him, hey, bro, this is how you got to eat. This is how you got to lift. This is how you got to change your swing, your batting stance, and we're already seeing it. How long until they say he's the leadoff hitter? Good to see Gleyber Torres have two knocks today, trying to get his average up. But, man, these at-bats from Volpe, I did a stream today on Bleacher Report talking about how Volpe was leading the league in batting average, how many pitches he's seeing. There was a stat that last year, you know, he had 9 swing and misses through 88 pitches. And this year through 87 pitches, he only had 3. That's why I say the maturity, the growth, the leap, the jump in one offseason, it's incredible. But it's not that surprising, because the kid has always been a stud. The kid has always been a star player. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of people, again, and Yankee fans, that's why I say not one of us can be the voice of Yankee fans. Not one of us can be a leader of Yankee fans. And you're a bozo if you think you actually are. Because half the fan base hates the team, and half the fan base loves the team, and they're too far apart on both sides. Half the fan base is, oh, Volpe's a bust, the kid sucks, should have traded him. The other half is, oh, he's the next Derek Jeter. 877-337-6666. Let's break it down. We're talking Yanks. We're talking Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all the dogs, for all the dogs. It's a dog-eat-dog world. Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Yankees are going to run with this dog thing. You're literally going to hear fans. Row, 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 row. I can't wait. It's going to be fun, man. Like, the whole dog thing started from that high school kid. If you scroll back to my Twitter from over the weekend, I was like, there was a high school kid that went viral talking about his high school football team. And I see some people on Twitter have, you know, grabbed that. Yankees Twitter is great at, like, you know, taking content. I saw Fireside Yanks jumped on that. And I don't care about stealing content. I've been on the internet a long time. There is no stealing content. Just like the Yankees didn't steal that from Tommy Lugauer. Like, nothing new under the sun. Like, nobody invented anything. Everything is repurposed. Everything comes back around. But yeah, there was a high school kid who was talking about his talking about his teammates, and he was just like describing them all as dogs. And Verdugo did that, and he sounded the same. And now it has grown legs, and it's a real thing. And you know, I'm putting together a playlist with different dog hip hop songs.
Dog,
Big Dog, Benny the Butcher, Lil Wayne. You know, DMX got "Get At Me, Dog."
Dog,
where my dog's at. I love that we're using that drop too, and Lugie is a Mets fan who has like Yankees fan PTSD. Look at how things just come around. And then the Knicks are not dogs anymore. They're like, it doesn't work, right? The Knicks have lost three in a row, and their big dogs might not come home. Their big dogs might be in some trouble. So yeah, that's where we are. And you know, the blue and orange in Queens. They're signing Julio Teheran, who used to terrorize them as a Brave. I was reading the article. It said, this is from Anthony DeComo. It said he had compiled 10 wins against the Mets over 9 seasons with the rival Braves, ranking second to only Gio Gonzalez. And the 33-year-old will go to work immediately with his new club. And he's a candidate to pitch Monday when the Mets open up a key 4-game series in Atlanta. Then you better take one of these games from the Tigers. He's like, it's time to get right. It's time to get right right now. Eric is in Manorville on the Fan. Go for it, Eric.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
Long time call. I've never called in maybe over 10 years. So
okay.
I'm
thanks.
Hopefully I get this going good. Thanks for having me. The reason I'm calling is I'm a Mets fan. You know, long time Mets fan. Me and my kids like the Mets. We watch them, watch the Yankees, we watch everything. We watch MLB Network, you know, big fans of baseball. We play baseball, softball, coach baseball, know the game. You know, my dad went to the Hall of Fame. He's seen every play. He saw Jack the Rabbit in his first game. Walked around.
You're a baseball family. You guys like baseball.
Walked around Cooperstown. My dad was like 75. He's like, I saw that guy throw out a guy from right field. I saw Brooks Robin, Jackie right. Robinson play his first game. He got a standing ovation at the end. People were in from all out of town for the tournaments. They were flipping out. They were like, oh, man, this guy really knows his stuff. It was cool. That was like my greatest baseball story. But talking about right now, just now, I just went to my bowling match with my son. We're big baseball fans. We're talking. The Mets have no grit. Like, baseball is getting a little gritty. We play hockey, too. And I like when Ramirez threw at the guy just to give him, but they should have thrown him in the first game right after, you know, our guy got hit. And I played high school golf, and it reminds me, like, Brett Beatty, Jeff McNeil, Nemo. They kind of seem like a golf team. Like, they don't have any toughness. Like, Alonso's, like, catting everybody up at first base.
He's a teddy bear.
On the back. How you
He's
doing?
A nice guy.
Like,
yeah.
Dude, like, come on. You're in the field between the lines.
Yeah, Eric, they had the perfect opportunity to change the narrative about them from last year when they were getting thrown at, when they were getting punked.
Yep.
It was right there with Rhys Hoskins.
Terry
they had
Collins
the perfect opportunity to peg that guy, right? The bench is clear, and
absolutely.
Nothing obviously happens, but you have the perfect opportunity. Just peg that guy, hit him in the leg, and send a message, and they couldn't even do that right.
It's not a teacup party. Like, Terry Collins had the whole team last year, like, the guy gets on first base, like, you know, chat him up. Like, this kid about to...
Yeah, well... Dump button. First call for Eric. And, you know, he told some stories. And he got to, you know, finally talking about the Mets. And then he dropped an F-bomb and we got to get you out of there. But, yeah, the Mets don't have the right swagger about them. They don't carry themselves like a team that plays in Queens. And I was on the Fan, and I said one thing that I thought would be different this year with Buck not being the manager and Mendy coming over from the Yankees, who you've seen Aaron Boone get thrown out so many times defending his players, and the Yankees don't get punked. I mean, the Yankees had no identity last year without Judge, but you don't see what you saw Rhys Hoskins do, come in and slide hard at one of your guys, then proceed to dominate your pitching and just take over a game and make it all about himself in your ballpark in front of your fans and nobody able to stop it, right? There's no dogs on the team. Who's the tough guy? Who's the guy that's supposed to step up and say something, do something? And as we talk tonight about the Rangers and Devils and how the Devils had one mission and one mission only, and that was to fight the Rangers and to send a message to Matt Rempe, we didn't forget. Hockey has its own rules and ways of policing itself. So does baseball. The Mets just, I don't know, they just completely missed on that. And it doesn't help with everything else. Jeff McNeil, you should have swung on him. If you were that mad, you had him right there. Were you afraid of him because he's bigger than you? Okay. Well, then, Luis Severino, you're new on the team. And it wasn't like you were having a stellar outing. You had an opportunity to hit him. And then when they throw behind him, it looks Bush League. It looks bad. It looks stupid. You get suspended. And that's not how it's done. And then it bleeds into the rest of the games, rest of the series, into the next series. And I don't know. Who's the captain of the team? Who's the leader? Your manager is a brand new manager on his first week on the job. Lindor can't be the leader because he always starts off slow. Pete Alonso is the face of the franchise, but he might not be here. He's not signed long-term. Nimmo? Nimmo's not like that. Where's Nimmo from? Isn't Nimmo from out west somewhere, Wyoming? He's not like that, bro. McNeil's not like that either. Marte's chilling. Alvarez might be like that, but he's a young boy. It's just, I don't know, man. The way that this team is constructed, they need an alpha dog. And, I mean, the Yankees got a bunch of alpha dogs. I mean, Verdugo just got here. He was a nemesis. I hated this guy. When they floated the idea that Verdugo would be traded for Gleyber Torres, I said, hell no. This guy's goofy. He's got so many tattoos. He's got grills, too many chains. And then I see an article come across the Twitter timeline. Yankees cracked down on how many chains Alex Verdugo is allowed to wear during games, per report. And he's icy. Like, he's out there with diamond chains shining. But the rule with the Yankees is you're only allowed one chain. And most of these guys will wear, you know, a little modest gold chain. Maybe some of them wear a chain that hangs a little bit. You know, I don't know, 28-inch chain. But, yeah, they already told Doogie, you got to calm it down. He said, my favorite chain is actually a custom one that I got built for my mom who was going through breast cancer. I did breast cancer ribbons with hearts connecting all of them. So that's actually my favorite chain. But I don't wear a lot because I don't want to break it. So now he's got to figure out what one chain to wear. And he was just letting him know, like, I'm icy. He said, you know, it's been hard, man, because usually I'm used to wearing like three or four chains. But that's what comes with being a Yankee. And Verdugo is going to conform. Verdugo is going to shave his beard 3 months before he has to. And you know a guy that needs to fall in line and conform? Carlos Rodon. Carlos Rodon, when I saw Carlos Rodon in his first outing, chatting up Boone in the dugout, seemed like Boone had to, you know, talk to him. And then today, when Boone comes out to get the ball, hand the ball over and go, sir. You have no room to do anything, say anything, to fight back, push back. They know you better than you know yourself right now. So if Boone comes out there to get you, don't waste our time. We have a good bullpen. Get off the mound. 877-337-6666. I do want to talk about the Giants fans thinking that they're going to be able to trade for Josh Allen, and the Jets fans thinking that they have the division because Josh Allen doesn't have Stephon Diggs. Keep McPherson on the Fan. Call me up. I'll be right back. And we're back. Thanks for waiting. Thanks for holding. Keep McPherson on the Fan. KM to 2 a.m. talking sports tonight in New York. April 3rd is about to end. I'll say good morning on the other side, but let's get a Another call or two in before we break. 877-337-6666. Before the break, I said I did want to talk about the Jets and the Giants a little bit. Obviously, because of the trade of Stephon Diggs today, Jets fans perk up and say, oh, he's out of the division. As if Josh Allen isn't going to just run the ball and throw the ball to whoever he wants to and the other team. And then Giants fans say, oh, maybe this is our chance to get him. No, 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 no. They're building a whole new stadium. It'll be open in 2 seasons, and they plan for Josh Allen to be there. And the Dolphins still exist, so it's not like the Jets are just going to waltz into their season and win the AFC East. Rob is down in Georgia on the fan. Go for it, Rob.
All right. I'm going to have a Joe Benigno moment real quick.
Okay.
If you don't mind. What are the Jets doing? I'm from Long Island, moved to Georgia, but everyone is like, what are they doing? I deal with every other sports fan that has, like, Ravens fans, you name it, like the best teams. Kansas City fans live across the street from me here in Georgia. Like, you couldn't even imagine.
The Jets are feeding guys pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwiches and getting them to sign. They signed Mike Williams. They even made a trade over the weekend for Hassan Reddick.
I went to Clemson. Mike Williams.
Awesome.
Yeah, he ran into a little, like, legitimately. Yeah, Mike Williams is huge. That was a great sign. But what were the Jets? Yeah, they got an offensive tackle. They got Mike Williams.
Tyron Smith.
They did that. Yeah, okay, but
Morgan Moses.
Aaron Rodgers.
Tyrod Taylor.
Can actually start?
What are you saying? Aaron Rodgers said he's going to play 4 more years.
Yep. Is he? He played 45 seconds.
Yeah, that was last year.
That was last year.
Run it back.
Is he just banking on $80 million right now?
He's one of the richest players in the history of the NFL. He's not worried about the money. He's not worried about that $81 he made this season.
All right, look, ready? Brett Favre, Chad Pennington were my neighbors, legitimately, I swear, back on Long Island. I kid you not. However, yes, both of them failed. Chad Pennington can throw the ball 20 yards. Brett Favre was a joke. But then they bring in Aaron Rodgers, and I'm just so annoyed with the entire idea. They bring in Aaron Rodgers, and they go, oh, this is going to fix the franchise. No, it's not. They're just putting duct tape on it with it. It's just like, hey, how can we sell more tickets at MetLife, which isn't even their stadium? The Giants run that stadium.
All right, Rob. I don't know. I just wasn't expecting the Jets fans or any Jet fan. Thanks for the call. I guess I should have expected it with the I'm going to go Joe Benigno, but Joe's not talking like that right now. Last year is over. What are they doing? Joe Douglas has made moves, right? I don't know. Am I missing some? Solomon Thomas is back. They added Javon Kinlaw to that defensive line. Hassan Reddick. Like, their defense has dogs. I mean, Hassan Reddick said that they got dogs on every level. I already mentioned Mike Williams, Tyrod Taylor. That fixed your biggest need. Backup quarterback is what you needed last year. Here's Tyrod Taylor just coming from the other side of the stadium. Tyron Smith. Who am I forgetting? Oh, I mean, Thomas Morstead is back. Greg Zuerlein is back. John Simpson at guard. I mean, I don't know what you guys want from him. I get it. You want him to have a better plan at quarterback than a 40-year-old quarterback that could potentially only play one game again. But I don't know.
Darkest before the dawn.
Four more years.
I think you're all right. I think you're in good shape. I think they will compete as long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy. I think you have some talent. I mean, how can you be mad right now? The draft is coming. 877-337-6666. And now Stephon Diggs is out of the division. And folks seem to think that because Gabriel Davis moved on, Josh Allen's not going to chuck the ball in the air to whoever's there. He's not going to be able to move the ball. He's that whole offense. Their defense has to stop him, and they have. They've picked off Josh Allen plenty of times. I don't know. The Jet fan can't be so mad today. It's April 3rd. It's about to be April 4th. Now we're talking Jets. We can definitely talk Giants as well. No way in hell should they take J.J. McCarthy, if you ask me. They should trade that pick if the Vikings want him or somebody else wants him. Finesse a little bit. Trade back. Get some assets. Maybe get Rome Odunze. Maybe get Malik Nabers if possible, but not J.J. McCarthy. Can't make a mistake here at quarterback. So Jets fans, Giants fans, you're in there. We'll start to move the show along and talk some NFL. Obviously, it's wide open for the Yankees calls, the Mets calls. If you're on hold, I will get to you. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's take a break. I'll say good morning on the other side. KM to 2 a.m. We'll be right back.